Almost everyone has one, but what do you do when things go wrong? Up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast. It's episode number 53, and we are back with a couple user questions today. And we also want to address, there's a component, a moving part that a lot of people have. It's the garbage disposal.
Is that what you were talking about in your intro?
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm talking about. And a lot of us have it. And for the most part, it just runs. They're pretty reliable devices.
Well, I don't know about mine. But really?
Well, sometimes things do go wrong. And even in Brian's house, sometimes things go wrong. And we're going to talk about what to do and how to maintain it and how to clean it. Clean it? Do you clean a garbage disposal?
I don't know.
Maybe we'll talk about it.
All right.
That's coming up. And we're also going to address two questions from our listeners. Did I call them users again?
No, you didn't. Listeners. Oh, okay. Yeah, we got our listeners.
That's good. And we're going to talk about some interesting questions they have, right? Issues with one of them. Actually, a listener talks about one of the drills we mentioned and some problems he's been having with it. So we'll address that. But before we do that, let's give out our contact information.
Okay. You can always call us at area code 615-676-0877. Leave your email address and we'll respond to you as quick as we can, or just on our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com. There's a contact form you can fill out or email us.
It's time for listener questions with the Handy Guy.
All right, we got some questions from our listeners. And first one, you want to do...
Yeah, I'll read the question and you do the answer this time, Paul.
All right.
Okay, because this question was specifically addressed to you, Paul. It says, Paul...
Is he taking me to task here?
He might be. I had a question about the Makita HP 1621 FK that you bought for finishing your basement. Did you ever have problems with drill bits spinning inside the chuck? It seems with these keyless chuck drills, I can never get the chuck tight enough to stop the bits from spinning when drilling into hard objects such as concrete. Do you guys have any tips for possibly reducing this problem in these keyless chuck drills? That's from Nathan in South Dakota. Thanks, Nathan, for your question. Paul, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I have this particular drill. First of all, it's a great drill for the money. Cost around, I don't know, $100, $120, I forget. And you get a good price if you get it through our store. But he is right. There is a drawback to this particular drill. And here's why. It's a powerful drill. I mean, we did in our drill test, this thing really pretty much did well. It stood on its head against the other drills.
It's got some torque to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's got some torque. It's got a lot of revolutions, RPM. And it did well with, you know, drilling holes in your concrete floor, in your garage, even though you didn't really want holes there, but you put it out there for our testing. That was really nice of you.
Thanks.
And so, but because there's so much torque on the drill, unless that keyless chuck, and let's talk about what is a keyless chuck. It just means the part of the drill, the chuck, is where you connect your drill bit. And typically, drills for years and years and years always had a keyed chuck. And what's a keyed chuck, Brian?
Right. It's where you've got they call it the key. And there's little teeth on it, and you can turn that in there to tighten down onto your drill bit.
It's like a gear.
Like
almost.
A gear. And you get a little bit of leverage with that.
Right.
And it grabs those bits nice and tight.
Typically made of metal.
Yes.
But some of these newer drills, the keyless, it's a metal and plastic kind of combination. It has a plastic collar around the chuck, and you use that, and you can hand tighten it. And if it's, you know, I have some hand keyless chucks on my cordless drills, both metal and plastic, actually, the chucks, and they work fine. And one of them, on a Porter cable, you can do it with one hand. You don't need to use two. And I've never had problems with that slipping. I haven't had any problems with those chucks. But on this particular drill, I don't know if it's because of the design of the chuck or because it's a higher-powered drill and there's a lot more torque on it. I did have some of the same problems that Nathan had. However, I actually had a little bit more of the reverse problems. His problems was not getting the chuck tight enough, My problem was that after I would use it on with a particular bit, drilling some holes, I could sometimes not – I couldn't get the chuck loosened to get the bit out. It would almost be jammed shut.
You don't do it by actually powering the drill while you're holding the chuck, you know, either forward or reverse, whether you're loosening or tightening?
I think that that's probably the – what, to tighten it or to loosen it?
Yeah.
Well, we tried that. I remember one time I handed it to you and you had a hard time doing it. We had to get some channel lock pliers out to really hold it.
I remember that, yes.
So, but that is one tip you can maybe try is to try to hold it and then give it some juice and have it spin a little bit. But it's a powerful drill, so sometimes it's hard to do that.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know – I did recommend on the podcast, I think if you're going to get that drill, it does come in a keyed version. The downside, of course, is you have this key. You can't lose it. If you do, you can get replacement keys at the home center. They use a standard size typically. There's one or two sizes you'll find at the home center. You can buy replacements, but still – you lose it, and then you can't. You're done. You got to go get another one or something. So,
right, go get a new key, and that's interrupts your day, and that becomes a pain in the neck.
So it is a pain, but for this powerful drill, unless I see something better, I would if I were to buy it again, I would buy the keyed version. And but I would play with it, keep messing with it, try channel locks to hold it, get it tight. I think you can get it working.
And here's a plug for Makita. I have. In that drill show, we talked about the cordless one, and I had the Makita cordless, and I had a chuck on there that was a keyless chuck, but it was out of true, so the bits would wobble in there. They would kind of oscillate back and forth. Something was out of whack. It might have been I dropped it one too many times or something like that, and so I called up Makita, and they sent me a brand new chuck in the mail. Oh, great. I'll put that on. Well, I couldn't get the old one off. I tried and tried. I tried everything. And it was just, anyway, long story short, I ended up sending the entire drill back to Makita. And in 3 days, I had the drill returned to me with a new chuck and a nice little letter as well and some gifts. I was actually right before we were going to go down to Mississippi to do the rehab work after Katrina. And they sent some gloves and stuff to give to the folks down there. So it was really nice of them.
Right. So they've had pretty good customer service. So
excellent customer
service.
That's
the other thing, Nathan. If you can't work it out so that you can find a system that works for you to get that chuck tight, yeah, give them a call and go through their customer service. You never know. And they've been pretty good to us in the past, which is why we continue to buy their products. So, okay, our next question is from Larry. And Larry called in to our phone number and left this message.
Hi, my name's Larry, and I'm one of those lucky folks that lost their job, and I'm looking to cut back, and one of the things I'd like to cut back is my gardening service. I've got a lawnmower. It's fairly new, maybe used for a year or two, but then just, put in the shed for the last 2 or 3 years while things were going well, and I had a gardener. I'm letting my gardener go. I'm going to pull that lawnmower out, start doing my own thing again, and I just looked at your website and the Handy Guys podcast, blah, blah, blah. And I read down the thing about annual spring maintenance for your lawnmower. I understand about changing the oil and the air filter and sharpening the blade. The thing that I'm concerned about is old fuel in the carburetor potentially being, varnish or whatever. Do I have to be concerned about that? Can you get me back to me and give me some guidance?
Larry, yes, you do need to be concerned about that. And yes, you probably do have varnish, and it's probably all gunked up in there.
It's worked for me, though, for 10 years, Brian, man.
Yeah, but you use it every year. Yeah, His has been sitting a couple years. So, yeah.
But it's in beautiful San Diego. I think that's where he said he was from.
That's right. So, Larry, do this. Give it a whirl. Change your spark plug. Change your oil. Pour out all the old gas. Put fresh gas in there. And not fresh from your gas can, but fresh from the pump. Go get some fresh gas at the gas station and fill it up and, clean it up, do that spring maintenance stuff that we had mentioned in the show and give it a whirl. See if it starts up. You might be lucky. If it doesn't, it may be, you may be required to do a carburetor rebuild, and that's going to go beyond what we can talk about in the show, but, it doesn't hurt to give it a try. And, want to do a carburetor rebuild yourself, contact the manufacturer. They have little kits with all the little parts and all of that. Or you may end up having to take it in and have it serviced, and they can do that, probably be $100.
I say it's going to start.
You think it's going to start?
You just got to pull that ripcord about 100 times, and then you'll get it. It's better than $100.
It'll take
15 times. My lawnmower, the trick is I got to turn the thing upside down for some reason because I think the primer bulb is bad. So to get the gas going through it, that's the trick. I don't know how I figured that one out, but as soon as I do that, the thing cranks right up.
Right. And, you know, the same thing goes with snow blowers, with weed whackers, you know, all those kind of things. And, you know, my recommendation, we made this on the show in the past, is to run the tank dry when it's going to be sitting for a long period of time, and or just do nothing like Paul does, right? But yeah, run it dry, and if you don't want to run it dry, or if you've got a larger tank and you got a lot of gas in there, there's a product called Stabil that you can add to your gas. It's a gas stabilizer that'll prevent that carburetor from getting gunked up.
All right, up next, garbage disposal.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com?
All right, Brian, a lot of us have them. Sounds like you've been having problems with yours.
Yes.
I have not had a lot of problems with mine in the past, but let me hear you tell me, and we have not discussed this previously, I want to find out, what is your garbage disposal problem?
Here's my garbage disposal problem. It seems to be not chewing up the garbage sufficiently enough, which is then causing a clog in the pipe between the garbage disposal and the trap. I think it's a combination of things going bad here. One, I think too much stuff gets jammed down in there before the garbage disposal is turned on. And that, in combination with it being probably the cheapest garbage disposal you can buy, it doesn't have a lot of horsepower, right, and so forth. So it doesn't grind it up real fine.
Are you putting like spare ribs down there? And what's going down this thing?
Everything seems to go down there, including silverware, including, you know, it all ends up in there. Anything that'll fit down that pipe that's been in there. Everything goes down there. So so when that happens, you know, I get the plunger out and try to plunge it. Sometimes that works. A couple of times I've had to actually disconnect the pipe leading into the trap and clear it out by hand and then put it all back together. And it's a real mess when you got to do that. So I...
But I thought the way the garbage disposals are designed is that they don't allow the food to pass through it until they've been pulverized to a certain size.
You would think. it's like it's almost maybe pushing all that stuff down that drain so fast that it can't keep up with you know, the volume or something.
Interesting.
I don't know what's going on exactly. And a couple of times it's been so bad that it's backed up so much that it's actually jammed.
Right.
And so we'll talk about how to get one unjammed.
That's what we need to do. Let's review. What do you do with the typical problems? And the first one is that you mentioned it's jammed up. There could be two. You know, you could actually jam it so that you still hear kind of the engine trying to turn.
Right.
And sometimes you get it jammed up, and then when you turn the switch on for it, you hear nothing.
That's right.
So
I've had both problems.
Okay.
And one problem typically follows the other. So if it's jammed up and you have the switch on, and the motor's running, it gets hot because it's not turning, and there's a little breaker in there, and it trips,
right,
and it shuts the electricity off so it doesn't burn the motor up.
Right, so there's a little button right on the bottom of your disposal under your sink, and if you hear, you know, or you don't hear anything, typically it's because you got to then depress that button to get it going again.
Right, like, and you might have to wait a couple of minutes for it to cool down before that button reset will actually work.
And if that button doesn't work, there are times if that's either is not functioning correctly or whatever reason, that it'll actually trip the breaker on the whole circuit and you got to go down to your electrical panel to reset that.
Yeah. So I haven't gone that far yet. So,
but if it's jammed, either way, once you get that resolved, you got to figure out how you're going to get it unjammed.
Right. And there's usually on these garbage disposals on the bottom, there's a little socket where you can put an Allen, it's called an Allen wrench. It's a six-sided wrench.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look under your cabinet, quite often the manufacturers will actually provide that wrench in a little stick-on pocket, and they stick it on the inside of the door of your cabinet or something like that, where you can go get an Allen wrench at the hardware store to fit that. And you can put that in the bottom of the garbage disposal and turn it back and forth and jiggle it and wiggle it until it's unjammed. But what if you don't have an Allen wrench?
Well, there's some other things you can do. One trick I've seen is you can take a plunger and use the, or, you know, like maybe a
broom handle.
A broom handle or something like that. But either way, you take the handle of the plunger, the wood side, and stick it down there and kind of get it turning.
Right.
And start moving it around.
Right. So you can turn it forward, or you can also turn it backwards, you know, just to get that, whatever is causing that, those teeth to be jammed, to unjam them. And first, before you do any of that, make sure you're not, you know, it's not a spoon or something down in there, you know, stick your hand in there and pull anything
and make sure it's turned off too.
Of course. Yeah.
So yeah, if you do get something really large down there, a lot of times you do have to make sure you turn it off and reach down and pull out the plastic toy that your kids threw down the sink, which I've done many times.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of crazy stuff that can be in there.
All right, so you can use a plunger, you can use a broom handle.
Broom handle.
And are there any other issues you might have? Besides, I guess the biggest thing is if you do get something clogged down there, sometimes you get it moving again and then it resolves itself, right? It gets unclogged and it begins to chew up the stuff. Then you turn it back on and it starts to work. You want to give it a lot of water too. You want to run the water as much as possible.
Always run the water when you're putting stuff down that garbage.
Before and after, you want to keep it going because you don't want it to get clogged in the trap.
And I think that's my problem is, you know, we run the water, stuff's going down there and then, you know, it kind of fills up and then, you know, by then you're already
running dry.
You're done.
But I mean, so many times, Brian, you know, I'll be running it and something, you hear a noise and it's making a lot of noise and you got something down there because a kid threw something in there, or you get one of these little, you know, quarter teaspoon measures that gets down in there, or some spoon, fork, who knows what. And, or usually the worst, those are at least easy. I can reach down and grab them, obviously turning it off first.
Sure.
But the worst is it's just a little piece of plastic or something there, and it drives me insane. It's like a puzzle. You're reaching down in there and can't find that piece, and then I turn it back on, so it moves it around again, and I reach down and try to get it. There's no real good method for that. You know, the manufacturers don't really have a system for finding little plastic pieces. It won't pass through, but it makes a lot of noise when it's running.
Yeah, you know? No, I know. It's what a pain in the neck that is. So when I had this problem of it clogging up, and it seems to happen continuously, and right now I'm sort of blaming it on the primary users of the device.
User error.
Filling it up too much. But I'm also of the opinion that the garbage disposal should be able to handle the kind of volume that I think might be being applied to it.
Yeah, I mean, look at the juicer, you know, the juice guy, you know, on late night TV. He can put, like, you know, whole, like, watermelons in that thing. It just chews it up and spits it out, you know.
I know. So I started looking at garbage disposals.
Okay.
And you've got the quarter horsepower, the third horsepower. Right. The half horsepower,
sure.
The three quarter horsepower, the one horsepower, and the
Hummer.
Yeah, and the the Hummer version, and so not only
stainless,
stainless and not stainless. Mine is definitely not stainless, and because I look down there, some of the teeth are kind of rusty and all of that. So you move up in horsepower, but also some of the nice features in the more expensive ones are they're quiet. They're really quiet. My garbage disposal, you could hear it, you know, three doors down. And
well, the more powerful ones chew up the Barbie doll that's been thrown down there? Or the dog bone?
You know, we could try that, you know, get all the ribs, you know, right. Have ribs on the grill and throw the bones down there and see if it chews them up. So maybe we'll have to do a show in the spring or summer or sometime where we actually show how to install one of these things. That might be an interesting show.
Sure.
And putting one of those quieter ones and that has a little more horsepower, that's quieter, and actually show people how to do that.
So I wonder, you know, I guess the ones with the bigger horsepower, the ones that are quieter, must have a lot of insulation around them or something to make it quieter, because you would think if it's more horsepower.
They do. They, you know, they're a lot bigger physically, but a lot of that is the insulation, not just the motor size.
And you think you can only, you know, you get the motor is quieter, but you know, you can't contain the sounds that goes from the food and stuff that gets in there. If you send a plastic fork down there or something like that,
it's padded and insulated all the way up to where it connects to the bottom of the sink. I mean, it looks like a big, massive thing hanging under there. So I'm looking forward to trying one of those out someday.
All right. Well, it sounds good. So, Brian, those are some basic maintenance procedures for your disposal.
How about cleaning it?
Yeah, we haven't talked about cleaning, and we'll do so after this.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, Brian, my disposal sometimes smells.
It does.
And, you know, I'm never sure. Actually, I kind of have an idea how to clean it, but there are some different theories and different opinions on it. I've heard everything from throw ice down there.
I've heard that.
To salt.
Baking soda.
Baking soda. And we've used salt, but I mean, what kind of salt? Should it be... What's the?
It's got to be the, you know, the Dead Sea sea salt.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I mean, does it have to be the big salt? Is what I call it, and the cooks sometimes use that. The what is that salt?
Sea salt.
Is it called sea salt? There's another name for some of that salt that, you know, like professional cooks always insist upon. My wife uses it. Anyway, we have some of that. You just, you know, sprinkle it by hand and see. And or, you know, is the ice maybe potato chips?
Have
you heard that?
I have not heard potato chips.
No, I just made that up.
Okay.
But what do you do? What do you use? I think any of it works. Anything that gets the food out of there. And if you, you know, some people will say the ice.
Well, what about taking the baking soda and some vinegar? Vinegar is a good cleaning agent.
Sure.
And baking soda and vinegar, as you know, does that foaming and, you know, like we made the volcanoes.
But the vinegar, but the vinegar kind of smells. So you may end up smelling more than you started.
I don't know. But what about the ice?
I think the ice works pretty good, but some will say, well, it dulls the blades and all that. And
really? Someone told me once that it sharpens the blades.
I know. Does it dull or sharpen?
I have no idea. It makes a lot of racket.
I don't know. I like it. I like to chew ice. I like to throw ice down my disposal. It seems to work. It seems to get the food smells out of there. The salt seems to work. Have I tried anything else? Maybe our listeners could provide some suggestions for what to throw down the disposal to clean.
Lemons.
Lemons. I like that. Yes, I've had you know, lemon peels and rind or brine. Is it brine or
rinds?
Rinds.
Lemon rinds.
Yeah, we've used that, and that seems to help.
Yep.
So, and then the salt and the lemon is not a bad combination either. Maybe a little cherry.
I don't know.
Maybe a little spice, you know, on the side.
How about something like a paint thinner or turpentine or
well, I think
gasoline.
That could put you in trouble with the law, you know. But I imagine it would work. Or it would develop its own smell. So those are some ideas. If our listeners have some suggestions, I'd love to hear it. Please put a comment on our website about how you clean your disposal and keep it from stinking like Brian's does. Or
mine just stinks because it doesn't work right all the time.
And mine's grinding up toys half the time. So actually, I think that keeps it clean. So, all right, that's it for disposals. Hopefully you don't have problems like Brian has. And mine's been working pretty well, although it is noisy. It's a builder grade, loud. Would be nice to be quieter, but I can't complain. I'm happy to have one. Didn't grow up with one, and now I have one. So,
good deal.
Moving on up. All right, that's all we have for this week. In the next couple weeks, we have some shows on. Actually, we don't know what our next show is. We're still working on it, but we do have shows in the future. We're going to do a revisit lawnmowers, and we talked about it today. But I want to sharpen my blade. Do a quick video on that. Be a great video.
Yeah.
And we're going to probably talk about decks, flooring.
We're definitely going to do a show on installing a wood floor. So everything from selecting it, what you got to look for, what kind of tools you're going to need, what kind of skills you need, all that good stuff.
We have a bunch of shows. They're going to require a bunch of planning, but we are always open to ideas from our listeners. So if you have an idea for a show, please email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com. In fact, we got a good idea. Well, this drill segment in the beginning with a question about the drill, but somebody suggested, what was that question suggestion we had for one of our listeners? Said that we should do a show on caulk, just a show on different kinds of caulks.
Yeah.
And I actually think that could be a good show.
Okay. I mean, we can do a show on caulk. And
it's not about a fun tool or anything like that, but I think it might be helpful to do a show about all the different kind of caulks there are, not necessarily trying to cover every possible one.
Like silicone versus latex, the when basics, to use one, when to use the other, what's painter's caulk and what that's good for.
Exactly. And outside caulks and around windows and gutters, and you can use them. And there's a lot of different places you can use caulks. Roofing, work.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's and you look at the masonry. Down the caulk aisle, and there's 100 different kinds of caulk from the same manufacturer.
There's a show.
In fact, just sitting here looking at my desk, I got three tubes sitting right over there. So.
Right. So there's what's elastomeric latex sealant? That could be.
It's got a 50-year warranty. I see it says on there.
I mean, it could be a sleeper of a show, though, Brian. But we'll try to make it interesting. And actually, I think it would be helpful to a lot of handy guys and gals out there to know. All right. Well, we'll see you back next week.
Thanks.
Bye.